Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. I hope you're all keeping well. Let's get straight into these markets. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Please take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. And we'll do our analysis over the next kind of 15 minutes and we'll present our trade plan and we'll post it into the chat box. So you've got a sort of a framework, really, from what we expect. We'll give a bit of a summary and we'll identify what we're likely to see. Then the idea is during our mentorship rooms, we'll be looking to execute that trade plan. So plan your trades and then trade your plan. Okay, so just as a quick introduction, then all profitable traders need to consider, which markets to trade. So trade selection is really a fundamental part of this trade plan session. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? What levels do we look at? Why do we look at those levels? Why are they important levels? And we've got quite a, I suppose, a slightly odd market condition at the minute in that we've got the US equity markets that are on the rampage and they're up at the really highest levels. And they continue to do so, make new highs and new highs and new highs. And there's a fundamental problem with that. We'll kind of break it down a little bit for you. How do we manage risk once we get into that trade? It's an important consideration along with trade management. So what happens when the market moves in your favor and you're in a profitable trade, you want to try and avoid and take steps to mitigate giving back that capital, decisions of that nature, and then trade psychology. Now, there's an interesting psychology for these markets as things currently stand, because it's a buy-only type dynamic. And kind of broadly speaking, a very, very strong technical risk-on market. Now, there's a few headwinds in terms of fundamentals, but prices are continuing to make new highs on a very regular basis. Now, we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we are strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. Okay, so let's start with a review of potential market moving news. So yesterday was a bit of a quiet day. No major surprise with that, with it being a bank holiday in the US. Oops. Excuse me. So yesterday, CPI numbers headline came in, and this is important for the Bank of England today, came in line with expectations, really. The market was expecting kind of 2%, and that's exactly what we got. But also the core, like the services side of the CPI number still remains pretty high, with significant wages. So that came in below the previous number, 3.9. We were expecting 3.5, and that's exactly what we got. However, this is a point of concern because it looks like services inflation is remaining sticky at best, but actually looking very, very mildly elevated, which is a problem for the inflation narrative. So again, we've got these strange market dynamics, let's say, and that's playing out as well in the inflation numbers, where the headline, so core CPI excludes food and energy, which over the course of last month came down really quite considerably, and they could reemerge just as quickly, of course, as we know. But it's the core CPI number that's still remaining really way above target. So the reason why that's interesting is because today we'll be hearing from the Bank of England. Just also yesterday, just to comment, and another thing in here as well, the German 30-year bond auction, that was yesterday morning, and we've seen the demand for the German 30-year fall off a cliff, pretty much. The first number is the rate, So slight softening on the rates. But the second number is the demand. And you can see previously the demand was really quite aggressive for 30-year bonds. And that demand has sort of fallen away. So is there a role there for the ECB further down the line if things continue to worsen, more so on the long end? Okay. New Zealand GDP quarter on quarter coming in just slightly above expectations, but we're very in a kind of a flat state. So we have higher inflation, we have low growth. That's kind of a stagnating economy. And that's some of the major problems for many of these large economies is the growth is it's positive, but it's relatively subdued, more so across the Eurozone. Okay, so today now our focus is on Swiss National Bank, so we'll be getting that in a little bit. We'll be broadcasting for this policy rate. Very much expected to keep rates and hold at 1.5. The problem is we've already seen a bit of a move already in the a couple of meetings ago. We had the Swiss National Bank already cut rates from 1.75 down to 1.5. There's a chance that they could cut again, but I think the market pretty much is factoring in that we might get a little bit of a pause after that initial rate cut. And then it's the Bank of England. So very much expected to keep rates at 5.25. We've got the election now in under 3 weeks. So the Bank of England are not wanting to appear to be manipulative in that process. So very likely to take a back seat on this vote. But what references will be made towards inflation and rates moving forward? Will they be coming down? Will they be sort of dovish or hawkish, like the same sort of discussion that we're having with the Fed? And then not to be underestimated, the unemployment claims number, we had a bit of a surprise to the upside last week. It is the softening that these markets are wanting to make. Or let's say the Fed are wanting to see a bit of softening in the jobs market. And as the unemployment claims rise, that is the softening. That's the beginning of the softening. We also had the unemployment rate rise from 3.9 to 4.0 in the last meeting. But what coincided with that increase in the unemployment rate was actually not the non-farm payroll coming in lower, which is what you would expect, but it came in significantly higher than what was expected. So you have a higher non-farm payroll number and also a higher unemployment rate, which is a bit of a counterintuitive position. Okay, so building permits as well and Philly Fed manufacturing index. So we've got some economic data due out this afternoon. So maybe there might be a little bit of a revival in today's markets. They died a little bit of a death yesterday, as you're probably aware. And then tomorrow we've got a series of manufacturing and services numbers. So really a strong focus on today's markets. So let's see where we're at. US indices rallying to all-time highs just again in the last sort of 4 or 5 hours. We've had a rally overnight, further upside. And let's look at some of these dollar pairs. So yesterday there was a bit of inside. Yesterday, all we managed to do really was trade inside the range of the previous day's highs and lows. So we've got a bit of narrowing in price action. I'll show you what that looks like with if I bring up. So it kind of suggests there's a bit of narrowing of price action. There's a lack of kind of clarity in terms of direction. So you could look at this on a smaller time frame, but what we're seeing is a narrowing of that price action, and it's just range bound. So you can see it a little bit better. Let's just have a look at it on like the 15-minute time frame. So it's broadly sideways moving. Does this, in fact, you could probably extend it across here. There's a bit of narrowing from the upside. So what we've seen is a little bit of a sideways moving pattern here, a descending triangle, and a little bit of a breakout. Now, the concerns we have would be these lows in here. So will we extend down to these levels, and will we get a structural failure trade to the downside? If that's the case, we could be pretty close to getting into a bit of a sell trade in the euro dollar. Our bias, as you probably know, has been really quite bearish. And let's see if there's a bit of strength across the board. There's the potential for a bit of strength against the pound, pound dollar. It's only showing like its potential upside in the yen, the dollar yen. This is so today we've got the Bank of England, of course, so we need to take that into consideration if we're trading the pound, the dollar Swiss. You can see that on what was it, Tuesday, we did get a strong breakout to the downside. The dollar was in a bit of a mixed phase, so we kind of need to have more reasons to either buy or sell the dollar. Really, at this stage, we're finding that we're having that discussion across an awful lot of markets, and a lot of these markets are very range bound, with the potential for a bit of upside. But you can see the price action in today's in this market, dollar CAD. If you correlate that with the gold trade, we had a really strong pullback. So where do we go from here? Our bias would be lower, but we've got a bit of indecision yesterday. So will this help the CAD? Will there be an opportunity to buy off these lows? You can see all the rejections to the upside. So we'd be a bit concerned about buying the dollar CAD, although that would be our directional bias. Aussie dollar, again, really strong, choppy, sideways moving price action. Clarity is not great. And we're looking at these on daily time frames as well. You know, it's even more choppy on the smaller time frames. But if you can step back and see what's happening with these markets. So since, mid-May, we've been pretty much moving in a bit of a strong sideways pattern. And now we're getting close to the end of June. So sort of 4 or 5 weeks, really, comfortably, our bias would be to the downside, technically, but it's a tough call. It could really swing either way. So looking at the yen pairs, it looks like there's further yen weakness. We've been talking about the potential for BOJ intervention. They've kind of muddied the waters recently with recent statements, appearing to be comfortable with the current price of the Japanese yen and the impact that that's having on the profound impact that's having on Japanese exports, which is pretty significant. Crude oil next, big strong rally. Big strong rally, big strong bounce off that $72 level. We're now up at 80, 81 effectively. We've been talking a lot about, what trigger could we use to sort of get into this trade. And it is a bit of a tough one because technically we've rallied above these moving averages. We've now got a bit of indecision. So if we start selling off, it can give us the illusion that there's a decent trade there. This is the highs would be broadly an area of support and resistance. We could probably look at this region here as a potential area of support and resistance. The problem is we're now above the moving averages, so now we need to try and get back below those moving averages. But our bias is still very much lower. Now, that could easily change if we start to, if we pull back into these moving averages and then we extend and start making new highs above $81, then I think it's fair that that bias can shift quite considerably. So we're in a bit of a holding pattern with crude oil as well. There's a potential for a bit of dollar strength. Markets like gold is in a bit of a range pattern as well. S&P 500. So this is the rally. So yesterday really did nothing. Very, very tight range. All we're getting is really tight ranges to trade off. And before we get those breakouts. And I suppose the analogy we use is that it's like, let's think about the psychology behind this particular market. This is like going to buy a car a year ago, which was worth 50 grand. Let's just work with round numbers. So a year ago, you were looking to buy this car for 50 grand and you just kind of held off. You weren't sure. But now what you've seen is that that price of that car has been increasing considerably. And let's say it's up at 60 grand now. So it was quite overvalued and it didn't represent good value a year ago. And now it's worth 60 grand, 65 grand, and it's going up a couple of grand every day. You know, how does that make you feel? Does that give you confidence to purchase that car? It's more likely to put most people off. And that's kind of the dynamic with much lower volatility. We're continuing to see further upside. And it's a difficult one to trade, just a market that is just pretty linear. Obviously driven by this AI kind of narrative. Getting very little opportunity to get a proper corrective move. All of this sideways moving pattern is very, very shallow. Even recently, it's ridiculously shallow. You're talking about a 7-point range really for a day of trading in the S&P before we actually do break out to the upside. So this is psychologically, when you're up at these elevated levels, it's a difficult place to be. We've always said, you know, if we can get a pullback, we can start buying at lower prices. That would generally be our strategy in a market that is trending. It's just the aggressiveness of the trend is really quite breathtaking. Dow Jones, it's a horrible market to trade. Certainly with the US indices, it seems to be upward only. There's rejections to the downside, also rejections to the upside as far as the Dow Jones is concerned. Also, it's a good little representation, the difference between, you know, those few five or six large cap tech firms versus everything else. So everything else is not performing as well, not seeing that much growth. It's those very, very small, heavily weighted large cap companies that are really holding this whole market up very, very aggressively. The German DAX, bit of indecision last few days, a little bit of up and down. With the political wranglings across Europe, and only likely to intensify now over the next few weeks, it's probably a tough trade to be a strong buyer of European equities, but it does suggest that we might get a bit of a bounce. Same with the Nikkei. We've been in this sideways pattern now for a couple of months, and this is just the overall sort of market dynamics. Maybe a sell trade in the CAC wouldn't be a bad trade below 7563. For the CAC. Okay, so look, let's post this into the chat box then. It's only really more so the political fallout, really, with it's kind of driven by sort of that political dynamic. Right, so let's just amend this trade plan and we'll post it into the chat box for you. So we've got a mixed market condition in the sense that there's very little sort of positive correlation. We could potentially look for the indices to continue higher, which are already at all-time highs. So it does mean buying those all-time highs. And there's also the potential, and we should probably we can look for the potential strength in the dollar. So let's phrase it like this, potential dollar strength. So we'll be looking very carefully later on at the euro dollar, potentially to the downside, the pound dollar. And we've also got the dollar Swiss, which is technically in a tough place, but it's in a similar dynamic to crude oil. You've got really strong resistance just above current prices. Right. Okay, so let's do it like this. So we've got the CAC looking to sell below. That's a very individual trade we could look at. 75.63. We've got potential dollar strength. Potential dollar strength. We have to be selective. So further so okay, if we can put it like this, so from a market summary perspective, we've got further risk on as far as the equity is concerned. Everywhere else is pretty mixed market dynamics. So we can look at further upside in the indices. There's no significant reason why we wouldn't get further upside. There's no real opportunity to sell. The problem is there's no real opportunity to buy either. You just have to buy the all-time highs with the expectation that prices will continue to push higher. And we prefer to get in on a bit of a pullback, but those opportunities are few and far between. Now, the CAC is worth looking at. We're below major resistance levels. So we'll have a look at that below the 75.63. It's worth having a look at potential dollar strength. We might need to be selective. It might be just one or two opportunities, and we'll see how the pound dollar plays out as well today. But I think we do want to keep all options open as well. So so we kind of want to keep all options open within this kind of context. So not the easiest of dynamics again. Some trade plans are remarkably simple and straightforward and easy to identify exactly where the opportunities might present themselves, and we'd be certainly on one side of the discussion more so than others in terms of directional bias. This is kind of mixed in nature. It's not that coherent, and I think we just want to try and communicate that that's the case. And again, if you take any trades, there's nothing wrong with taking the trades. Keep that risk under control. Not the market conditions to be taking lots of excessive risks for us. and that buy trade in the equities is at all-time highs is still there. Narratives slightly mixed. Bond yields are just kind of in a bit of a sideways pattern, just ranging up and down. We have clearly US indices rallying very, very aggressively. We also have the potential for the dollar to strengthen. We might get a bit of a bounce in bond yields at these lower levels. And we've got a bit of a bounce in commodities, which could turn lower at any point as well. So we've got a mixed dynamic between narratives. So again, that feeds into the mixed narrative and not distinct lack of clarity. All right then, guys, look, we'll wrap that up. We'll switch rooms now. So if you can join us for the European live mentorship training room, then you'd be very welcome to join us. And we look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade, you can access one of our live trading education bundles on the website. It starts at just $59 per calendar month. For more information, just go to thelivetraderoom.com and feel free to connect with us there through our website. So great stuff. On that note, guys, we're just, I suppose, on the back foot a little bit in these markets without sort of quality setups to really focus our attention on. Now, saying that, the CAC sell would be a decent trade for us. Elsewhere, we'll try and keep options open. Right. Okay. On that note, listen, thanks so much. We'll switch rooms now, guys. So we'll see you very shortly. Bye for now.